This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:43, the Steve Cochran Show continues. And in the week where we most celebrate America's game and the Super Bowl and football, there was news on the Dave Dorison situation, the family. What do we do with football going forward? And the fight for the Dorison Act, which would, and by the way, I fully support this, which would prevent kids under the age of 12 from playing tackle football. We know far too much medically for this not to make complete common sense. In studio, happy to welcome Liz Nicholson, who knows more about this than she ever wanted to. It's nice to see you. I salute you and the work you've been doing on behalf of your husband and everybody.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me.
And we want to remind everybody that your husband, Jerry, played 8 years for the Browns. He was a lineman, wasn't he?
He was an offensive lineman, correct.
So that's the problem. In the trenches, Andy, and you know this, it's a car crash.
30 mile an hour.
Yeah, it's a collision on every single play.
Absolutely.
So was he diagnosed with CTE, or were they calling it something else when he got sick?
The thing with CTE is, first of all, it cannot be diagnosed till postmortem.
Okay.
So unfortunately, we don't know that, but he's symptomatic, and he was diagnosed with dementia at the age of 52. So he's got all the signs, and he's been, they decline as the years go by, and it's a very slow, sort of insidious disease.
And I would assume part of the problem here is you got a big, strong guy, and the frustration that goes with it and the violent outbursts that could come. It's got to be a nightmare.
It is, and I think that that's why I'm so active with a lot of the wives and women that have come forward that were living in isolation for a long time because of the rage, the violence. It's embarrassing. A lot of times these guys know that they've got violent tendencies, or they're filled with rage, paranoia. They lack impulse control, so it's very difficult for them to maintain regular living situations.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to make this deeper and more painful than it already is, but I mean, this is your life and you've laid it out there to talk about. It's gotta be horrible to see this man that you love at 52, which is a very young age, start to slide like that. And for the diagnosis then to be put under the, I suppose it's like the big umbrella of Alzheimer's, isn't it, when they talk about dementia?
It is. And we see a lot of different things that happen with these guys. Some of them, unfortunately, get other neurodegenerative disease like ALS or Parkinson's, things of that nature. So there's a whole host of unfortunate problems that come from too much head injuries.
Do we know how the Dorison Act is doing as far as being moved along?
Yes. So right now, we introduced the bill last Thursday, and it's House Bill 4341. And right now, what we're doing is just trying to garner support for the bill. Obviously, there will be some opponents. We haven't really identified specifics yet of who's supporting it and who's against the bill. But we feel that you can't really preclude guys from playing football on the back end when they've already done it and the damage is done. So what we're very much going for is precluding it on the front end and making it so that young children are not hitting their heads hundreds of times a year in tackle football.
I want to talk about what the NFL has done and what they haven't done, and frankly, it's shameful what they haven't done. And Coach Ditka has been a leader in this, taking care of guys he played with and older guys who have suffered with this. If we go with the acceptance of the obvious premise here, because we have medical advances and medical proof like never before that CTE is real, it exists, and it's destructive and deadly, then everything else needs to be adjusted accordingly, including taking care of everybody the NFL made money off throughout their life, long after the last whistle blew for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Coach Ditka has been wonderful, not only through Gridiron Greats, which helps all the guys. Let's say that there's a guy who has lost his savings due to, you know, CTE later diagnosed because there's a lack of impulse control. Maybe they make some very bad investments. Maybe they lose their wife and their family due to the issues stemming from CTE. And Coach Ditka, through Gridiron Greats and after the Impact Fund, which also helps veterans as well, has been phenomenal to help the older players.
So let's talk a little bit more about the NFL's culpability in this and how they failed, because frankly, they have on almost every level. Mm-hmm. It's 8:47. Before we do that, what's coming up at 9, Steve?
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby. The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my mind, I'm playing now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
Liz Nicholson's here. Frankly, she's a hero. And aside from your day job, which involves an awful lot of work on the politics side of things, which maybe we should have you back to talk about another time. You are doing everything you can, not just to help your husband, but everybody who has dealt with this situation or may. And Andy brought up a question off the air I want to get to in a second, but let me get Andrea in here.
I'm curious. You know, we regulate so much of what our children eat, which is great. We require them to have school lunches and physical education. I'm wondering why there couldn't be an inclusion in the bill that you were referring to before, the House bill, to have something to say, well, young little kids who are still developing, because they're still little people, maybe can't play football until they're 12 or something.
Well, that's
the
Durison Act.
That's what
right,
I'm saying.
That's the language.
But that should be universal. I mean, that should be not just in Illinois. Mm-hmm. You know, so is there a movement, like a national effort, or I guess even an international effort?
That's a very good question. And right now, if it does pass in Illinois, which we've got an uphill battle on that, yeah, because a lot of people are saying, don't tell me what we can do.
Wait, is that right? So you're not sure it's a, I thought this would be a gimme.
You would think so. Right. But I think with what's coming out recently, I'm hoping that most people turn to our side and say, yes, we've got to protect kids' brains here. We see what's happened with the accumulation of hits and what it does to people. And I can be a firsthand testament to that. But,
by the way, for parents of little kids who are going, I don't want my kid to miss out on football. Well, okay, that's your choice in your house. Your kid can play flag football until they're 11, learn the game, learn how to play the game, and learn how to play it well and develop as a little athlete until they get to an age where running into each other is a little safer.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're saying is that a lot of guys who are very successful today, Walter Payton, or, you know, the late Walter Payton, Tom Brady, I think it was Lawrence Taylor, they didn't play tackle football until high school.
Yep.
So it's not like you can learn the fundamentals, and we are not anti-sport. I want to make that clear. If you saw the guys that were up on the stage, we want these kids to get out there and play, and we want them to play, but we just want to do flag until they're the right age.
Andy.
Right. I'm just curious, as this has gotten more and more publicity nationally, and I know that some athletes were hesitant at first to donate their brains for study. Has that become easier now that this has all become more mainstream and more in the news?
It has. So the Concussion Legacy Foundation, which I'm on the national board of, in conjunction with Boston University, it was very popular in the news recently because of the Aaron Hernandez results of his brain pathology. But yes, absolutely. In the beginning, Chris Nowinski, who's the executive director and founder of Concussion Legacy, would call up the family members of recently deceased former contact sport athletes. But now it's so well known that guys like Otis Taylor, as you saw, or Otis Wilson, excuse me, he said right there at the press conference he would donate his brain. So obviously we would donate my husband's brain. And a lot of family members now are very much in tune with the fact, we need to see the research on this. And unfortunately, one of the stats that's very alarming, of the 111 NFL brains that were at BU, 110 of them had CTE. Okay, so
it seems to be fairly strong evidence.
The evidence is out there, and it's the thing that bothers me is when people say, well, that's just a small sampling, and that's
no.
We've got guys, thousands of them, that are symptomatic, just like the guys of the 110 that had CTE.
110 out of 111. You can't argue with that.
You cannot argue with those numbers.
The National Football League is worth how much?
$14
billion. $14 billion. And they have a very strong union that protects on a lot of levels current players making a lot of money.
That is correct.
What are they doing for old guys?
Well, there's a group of us, Steve, and we are called the pre-93 guys. So anybody who retired before 1993, we've been struggling for years to get parity in pension. And we've had all sorts of initiatives and things like that. But not a lot has happened. And the NFL will tout their programs like player care and all that. Well, that's fine and dandy for the fellows that are under the age of maybe that played after 93 when the contract, they went back to the bargaining table. They got way better contracts for these guys. But back in my husband's day and age, they didn't. And a guy like my husband who played, he's got 9 vested in the NFL, 2 in the USFL. These guys need the services, not the fellows that are making the big salaries. And nothing against
them. Your husband probably never made more than 100 playing football, did he?
He did not. He actually made his most when he played at the USFL. I think he made 110, which at the time was great. I'm not saying that wasn't
but
a good salary.
But that's not money for the rest of your life.
Exactly. And there's no, I mean, obviously, no pro sports. I think they just did it for one, maybe the NBA or something, got the health care. But these guys, even my husband was one of the rarities that was diagnosed with total and permanent disability back in 05, but there's nothing that I can go to say, okay, you said that he's got severe cognitive deficits. Where do I go to get help? Silence. You know, nothing. We have no resources from them.
So why the National Football League seems to love the publicity that they're all over the concussion issue. The commissioner came out this week and made a statement that he's worried about CTE going forward, and he wants to do this and do that. This seems like the number one thing on the agenda, the to-do list. Check off taking care of the people that built the league.
Absolutely. Well, as you recall, it was the former commissioner, Paul Tagliabue, who, that said it was a PAC journalism issue before
right.
Roger Goodell. So these guys have been fighting this every step of the way. To not admit that their game and the game of football inherently is very risky and dangerous and produces some very serious illnesses later in life.
Yeah, shame on the NFL.
Shame on
them. It's outrageous. What do we do? How do we help?
Well, I think that if we could, there's a groundswell now to support the Dave Duerson Act to at least protect the most vulnerable among us, which are the young kids under the age of 12 with developing brains tossed into this dangerous game of Russian roulette. And I call it that because, you know what, why would you want to take that risk when they can play flag football, they can play other sports, they can wait to play tackle football till their brains are fully developed. And there's been a lot of success stories from that.
So, and there does seem to be a genetic predisposition where some people are likely to be more damaged by this than others, right?
That is true. There are certain fellows that I would say are doing well, and a lot of times I notice those are the fellows that didn't start until later in life.
Yeah.
It is, they are coming out now to say that, first of all, it's not even the concussions that are causing CTE. It's the day-to-day hits, and it's the accumulation of those hits. And sure, maybe a fellow like my husband was predisposed to some other illness, but we are seeing this widespread through our retired football community.
Well, if you think of a concussion as a bruise and swelling in the brain, and before that swelling can come back down to normal, you get a second one and a third one and a fourth one. There's only so much space up there, so of course you're killing off part of the brain. It's just logical.
Absolutely, and that's the most damaging thing too, when the original concussion was not diagnosed properly, the original head injury, and then they go right back in the game, which back in my husband's day and age happened all the time.
Oh yeah, you got dinged.
Mm-hmm.
Take a play off.
Yep, and there was a case where he got dinged at the Houston Astros Stadium, which used to be concrete basically
right.
falling on. They put him right back in the game after he had vomited on himself and he couldn't see straight. Half those guys didn't remember even what the score of the game was or who they played.
Well, there's always stories about guys that go to the wrong sideline or
right.
go to the wrong huddle, and back then guys would laugh it off.
Mm-hmm. And as you recall, there was a show that used to be on where they would just, I forget what it was, You Just Got Jacked Up, I think was the name of it.
Right.
It's disgusting when you think about what they were laughing at and what these guys, Steve Young and some of these guys, I think, who now realize that there's nothing funny about this. These guys are brain damaged.
Well, listen, I can't imagine what you go through every day, and I salute you. You really are a hero, and I hope you take time to feel good about the work you're doing every day, because we need people like you and the power of the other wives and family members, and I'm sure there's moms involved as well.
Absolutely.
To push this forward, but it can't be just women. Men need to get involved as well, and let's start with the Duerson Act. If you believe, whether you've got a soon-to-be 10 or 11-year-old or not, if you believe this is a good idea, then step up and tell your elected representative you want this passed.
Absolutely, and I think that that's how it's going to be passed eventually, is the groundswell of support from everybody, not just moms, not just wives of players, but we've got to get behind this because it is for the future safety and the future health of children in their
brains. And we are not saying don't play football. We're saying don't put a helmet on and run into other kids before you're 12.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to add, Steve, is a lot of people just think of dementia and the things that are easier to grasp. It's the things that lead up to that, the rage, the violence, the domestic violence is huge in our community.
Yeah. Brian Gumbel and Real Sports done a couple of pieces on it. It's incredibly painful.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not just physically. The emotional pain continues as well. And honestly, the men who are victimized by this in their moments of clarity, it's got to be absolute torture to know what they're doing to their families.
It is, and that's why a lot of them are in suffering in isolation, because they're either embarrassed. I mean, these guys were warriors on the field. They don't want to say, look, I can't remember where I parked my car. I can't remember that yesterday I almost came at my wife, or that I yelled at my children. And,
sure.
You know, it's very scary, plus ALS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. There's all sorts of neurodegenerative disease that comes from this.
You know, we as men find it hard to admit any vulnerability to begin with, and if you played in the National Football League for your entire life, everybody loved you and looked up to you because you were a tough guy who could handle anything. It's, I don't know. Give Jerry a hug from us. We've never met him, and I wish him well.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you so much.
And keep up the good work. All right, again, the short-term answer here, because we don't have any others, is make sure if you have an opportunity to let the National Football League know how disappointed you are and you want more action from them, and immediately and more close to home, tell the people that you vote for you want the Durison Act passed. Any idea when it's going to get to the floor?
You know what? We are hoping maybe this legislative session, but that's sort of a little bit maybe putting the cart before the horse. But I think that we have the chance of doing it if we have the groundswell of support, which I'm hoping for.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you so much.
We'll drag you back in here and talk about politics at some point soon.
Thank you so much.